It's relevant that this verse has been put straight after chapter 2, which talked about faith without deeds being dead. If we teach God's word but don't do it ourselves, people will judge us hypocrites and not listen to us. Teachers of God's word will rightly be judged more strictly by people, and our character matters a lot. When people are not recommended for ordination training or reader training, it is very often character issues which are the main cause. As well as being judged more strictly by others, Bible teachers are also judged more strictly by God. Indeed, that's more the point of this verse. Those who know more, those who are given more, are judged more. That's how the Lord's judgment works. And teachers ought to know more. Otherwise, why be a teacher? There is also the problem of false teaching, preaching the wrong meaning of God's word. That can be so destructive. And the judgment of God will hold teachers responsible for false teaching. So verse 1 is very close to home for me. Verses 2 to 12 may be close to home for you. And I've got two phrases to help you remember this. This section, tame the tongue, hone the heart. First, tame the tongue. Verse 2. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. It's easy to get it wrong. When we speak, it's easy to get it wrong. Sometimes it's a mistake, as in here. Whoops, open mouth, insert foot. But it's not always a mistake. Often it's manipulative and deliberate. Lies, slander, innuendo, flattery. Because it is so easy to get it wrong, we need to tame the tongue. Now, the picture which is emerging in verse 2 is a bridle. And that's mentioned again in verse 3. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. So a bridle sounds a help in taming the tongue, like a horse with a bar across its tongue. You might say sticky tape or a gag might do the same job. But actually, the bridle has a particular help, an advantage of being a help to guide the horse in a better direction, not just shut it up. Because it's so easy to get it wrong, we need to tame the tongue and redirect its efforts. It goes on, tame the tongue because it has such large influence. Turning over now, can you see verses 4 and 5? Or look at ships, though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, yet they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. Tame the tongue because it has such large influence. The tongue may be small and more often not visible, but it has such large influence, like the rudder on a ship. Like a small fire in a tinder dry forest. And there in verse 5, we get a hint of the potential for damage. what we say can be so damaging. And what we say so often shows up our attitude, all too often our self-centered attitude, with great potential for damage. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. This makes the link between our speech and our ego. If our attitude is self-centered or boastful or malicious, this will show in our speech. And it can be so damaging to friendships, so damaging to reputations, so damaging to the name of Jesus and his church, so damaging to happy workplaces, so damaging to families and households, so damaging. Tame the tongue because it has such large influence. Tame the tongue because it can be so damaging. The verses go on, verses 6, 7, and 8. And the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of bird and beast, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by the human species. But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. Can you see the pictures of damage in there? Fire. Stain and poison, things that spread and damage and kill. Now, to some of us, gossip may seem like a game, even a bit of fun, but it's so often as damaging as fire or poison, because it spreads and spreads its damage. It's not only the book of James which makes this clear. In the Old Testament, the book of Proverbs often refers to this subject. And in Proverbs 16, verses 27 and 28, it says this: a perverse person spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends. Scoundrels concoct evil, and their speech is like scorching fire. As James and Proverbs tell us, we must get wise with our speech and seek to tame the tongue. But we've reached the part in this passage which sounds a setback. James also says, but we can't tame the tongue. Can you see in verse 8? But no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil. So we must seek to tame the tongue, but we can't. So how can we make progress? We will only make progress if at the same time we confess that we can't tame it and try another approach as well. And that's why my two phrases are: tame the tongue by honing the heart. If our hearts contain bitterness or envy or selfish ambition or hatred, then it will come out of our mouths in speech, sooner or later. What is going on in our hearts comes out by our tongue. So the best thing we can do as we seek to tame the tongue is to hone the heart. I think the word hone is one of those old words, and used to describe a stone for sharpening tools. My guess is that the word honesty comes from the same root and is closely linked. We get sharper hearts by being more honest and true. That's how we hone our hearts and tame our tongues. The problem with our hearts is they're often pulling two ways. And this becomes reflected in our speech. We say one thing and then we say another. It's a sort of double-mindedness which James finds very unimpressive. Can you see in verse 9 and following? With the tongue we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives? Or a grapevine, figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. We need to make sure that our hearts are honed. The bits that need to be shaved off are shaved off. It needs sorting. When we tame our tongues by honing our hearts, be rid of the impurities of the heart. So it is, we shall tame the tongue. And this means all of the impurities. Let's not indulge ourselves by thinking that some gossip is okay. It's not. Some brackish water makes a freshwater spring useless. Let's not kid ourselves that some lies are okay. Good fruit comes only from fruit trees. Tame the tongue by honing the heart. And this theme is developed more next week, so do come along and see where it goes. The home group studies are available at the back right to the end of the series now. So leaders, please make sure that you've got enough for the next home group sessions. Let's pray. Lord God, we acknowledge that the teaching of your word is close to home. And Lord, if this teaching has cut into our hearts, sharp as a two-edged sword, please, Lord, help us to be those who respond faithfully and well. Please work in us that our hearts might be honed so that our tongue is tamed, for your name's sake. Amen. Amen.